Okay, good morning, everyone. Shalom Aleichem. Welcome back to Sefer Shmuel Aleph. We are learning about the coronation of Shaul HaMelech and what that entails, how he became king. It is not typical already. What do I mean by that? Is that the entire episode of, you know, how he became king is sort of like happenstance or a little bit sloppy. He loses a donkey. The people ask for a king. Shmuel and Hashem are unhappy. Okay, they get over it. They accept that they're going to make a king. And the next thing we know is that we meet this young man named Shaul, whose father loses a donkey. And Shaul finds his way toward Shmuel. Hashem tells Shmuel, by the way, tomorrow you're going to be the guy. He's going to be the next king. And Shmuel anoints Shaul in a very private affair. Just two people. So a king is a very public position. It's a very public decision. And we see here that it is all being done behind the scenes, which we will see, is that going to be any cause for concern about this process? We like process and we love transparency, especially in the times that we're living on. So when you're thinking about how this would play out today, I think that's like very fascinating. Would Shaul be accepted as king? And last week we saw the signs that Shmuel told Shaul were going to happen as a result of him being king. And now we're going to see that play out. So today we're going to learn the last 11 psukim in chapter 10 and analyze them from those perspectives. Shaul becoming king, what processes are needed to become king, and what, by doing that, what was Hashem trying to address to the people. So, Vayetzek Shmuel es ha'am el Hashem ha'mitzpah. Shmuel gathers all the people together with the goal of, you know, we'll see, of anointing a king. We've already seen, just important to note, certain midos, certain character traits that Shaul already has, and that is he was humble, he's willing to ask other people for directions and for help. He has concern for his father, dedication towards his family, and care for even such small things as a donkey. We saw that Shaul also, after he gets anointed, he becomes a prophet, that the position gave him, right, when you become this, in this position, it gave him certain abilities that maybe he didn't have beforehand, that the robes make the king. So Shmuel now gathers all the people together with the goal of trying to anoint the king. Vayomer el b'nei Yisrael, and he tells b'nei Yisrael the following: Ko hamar Hashem Elokei Yisrael, Anochi ha'aleisi es Yisrael mimitzrayim. I took you guys, my nation, out of Egypt. Va'atzil eschem yad mitzrayim, miyad kom hamamlachus halochatzimus eschem. And I, any nation that has tried to attack you and try to put pressure on you, and I have helped you. Va'atem hayom, ba'astem es Elokeichem. You have now betrayed, rejected your God. Which has saved you from every evil and pain and suffering. Because you have said you want to, you don't want Shmuel, you don't want God's plan, you want to do your own thing. And now, what I want you to do is that I want you to stand each tribe individually. We're going to see he's going to do a lottery. What is Hashem telling the Jewish people right now? They need this Moshe Shmuz now. Hashem, Moshe Shmuel already, two chapters earlier, and again, we're going to see this in Perek Yud Beis, a very similar language. speaking very harshly about the way that they asked for a king. So what is he doing now? So says the Abar Benel the following. Amarti shelo hayu hadvarim ha'ela tochacha. This is not rebuke. Don't read these words as musar, as rebuke against them, because that's going to happen again later. Aval lafisha Yisrael sha'alu melech u'shmol amar lahem l'chu ish le'iro. They asked for a king, and Shmuel said, go back home to your homes, and I will, you know, call you all back when we have a plan. Now he's, this is a little while later. Everyone's coming back together. He tells them this. Maybe you'll think that God wants to do this on his own. So he wanted to remind them that this was from their asking and not for him. Lachain hikdim ledaber elehem v'lomar edim atem sh'inyan ha-melech asher ani oseh hayom hazeh eino meiretzon hakel yisbarach. Please remember that this isn't God's will to do this, but Hashem is listening to you and heeding your request. Bal tamru hayom u'machar hine Shmuel tza'ak v'yasobis kol Yisrael me'atzmo hipir lahem. Don't think that Shmuel is making up this whole story and he wants it and he's forcing this upon you. This is your thing. This is your thing. It's like, children, tell the parents, we don't want to go. You want to go to, high school decision season last week in Bergen County. So the child applies to two schools, one school the parents want and one school the child wants. And the child's putting pressure on the parents. The child gets into both schools very aggressively. I want to go to this school. You don't know me. You don't get me. And parents say, give me a few days, and they come back and they say, we'll send you to the school you want to go to. And they give them a whole speech. I want to let you know, you asked for this. This is what you wanted. They want to remind them that part of parenting is you need to listen. You have to listen. Doesn't mean you have to always heed their request, but he wanted to remind them and frame the nature of the Malchus right now. The nature of the decision that they made is coming from them. If I had to ask you, why would it be done with a lottery? Why are we using a lottery here? Why doesn't Hashem just say, well, I would say there's a few different options. Hashem could come down or through Shmuel and say, Shaul's a king. Or we could have a vote, and everybody could vote, and we can have a whole election season. We can go 10 months of an election cycle, and the Hamodia can say, we want this guy to be king, and this person can say, Haaretz can say this. So why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu decide that the best way or most effective way to have a king is through a lottery? Now, what do you think? I'm going to have to start calling on people, Mendy. I think that's the way it's going to work. Just kidding. People aren't going to come. Okay, so the Abar Benel gives three reasons as to why this is so. Number one, one tribe's going to get the kingdom, gets it over the other ones, this prevents jealousy amongst the tribes. Number one. Number two, if the people make a decision, the people could very easily make a mistake. And if the people make the decision, the person is going to have the loyalty to the people more than the loyalty to Hashem. And the entire goal of the Melech is to be the representative of God in this world. And that would perhaps undermine this process. The Radak.
Rabbi.
One second. The Radak gives a last approach. The Radak writes is that this really gives more confidence in the decision, he thinks. Everyone knew who was getting what, and this gives like a divine stamp to the approval process. So doing it in this randomized, quote unquote, randomized way, we know that Goralot in the times of the Torah meant something different than the Goral today, but it's more divine. The Kaddish Baruch Hu wants this. And they would feel more comfortable with this decision. Yeah, Mendy.
So, well, this lottery was to determine which Sheder was supposed to get the king, the kahuna?
It went through processes.
The Malchus?
Yeah, no, Sheven, and then family name, and then person.
So, but again, I asked this question last week. What happened to the prophecy of Yaakov that Yehuda was supposed to get Malchus? Why, is that? What happened to that?
Right. So we mentioned a few different approaches to that. So I'll go over them because I was going to add two more today. So the Ramban writes that this is temporary. That's why. Just back up in Mendy's question. Mendy's asking, we learned the Parshat Vayechi, Lo Yaseh Shev MeYehuda. Yehuda needs to be king. Isn't that what we learned? And that's what Rashi tells us. And that's why when the Chashmonaim took over, not only the Kahuna, but also leadership, that was a failure of the Chashmonaim. So what about here? So the Ramban says it's temporary. They wanted this. And this is, again, the Ramban would say, this is the frame. You want this? The first king we're going to have is not going to be the ideal. It's going to be something temporary in nature. The Abar Benel says the following. He says that Lo Yaseh Shev MeYehuda is not a prophecy that all kings are going to come out of Yehuda. What it really means is that Yehuda will always have leadership skills and will always be amongst the leaders. However, when David came around, HaKadosh Baruch Hu fell in love with David HaMelech. And then we have specific psukim, explicit in Sefer Malachim, that say that kings can only come now from David. So that wasn't the prophecy was leadership. And when David came and he was so amazing, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, now they only can come from the lineage of David HaMelech through Shlomo. The Ran, Rabbeinu Nissen, in his sefer called Drashos HaRan, which talks a lot about Jewish leadership, he writes here, is that the nevuah of Lo Yaseh Shev MeYehuda only begins when the kings come from Yehuda. The Kozman, as long as they didn't start that process yet, then the kings can come from other nations. But other Shvatim. So Yehuda didn't start yet. So then Shaul can go because he's from Binyamin. But once, again, when we see David begins, then things change.
Rabbi.
Yeah.
I think you have to say that Shaul's a very special person. If he would think that this was a temporary malchus. So just imagine if you went over to a person to become president of Shomrei Torah, and you say, well, I don't want you really to become president. I want you to be a temporary president. Oh, you only can stay here for 3 months and then we're kicking you out. Knowing that Yehuda would eventually get into the malchus, I don't know if he knew that this was something that would be temporary. But if he did, then you have to say he was a very special person to give himself up. Maybe exactly what he did, falling on the sword.
Well,
he was here for his country.
So let's learn a few more psukim and a gemara, and we'll see if that's the way Chazal viewed the leadership of Shaul. You're right now. I don't know whether Shaul knew his acceptance was temporary. I would argue that he didn't know that because he refused to let go for a very long time. But it's not clear that that's what it was. And we'll see that maybe there's lessons there to learn. So now let's see what happens. Vayakrev Shmuel Pasachav is Kol Shifte Yisrael. Vilached Sheva Binyamin. Right? And he chose, right? He brought everybody together. He had these lotteries. I don't know when the Jewish people, when else did we have lottery? There's a few of the instances in the Torah when lottery was used. So most famously, it's used once a year on Yom Kippur, where you have the Seir Lazazel and the Seir Lashem. Parallel to that is the lottery of Haman, Yom Kippurim. Yeah, Yom Purim. Haman made lots when he decided what day he was going to annihilate all the Jews. And lastly, when the Jewish people went through the process of divvying out the land in the land of Israel, at the end of middle end of Sefer Yoshua, they did lotteries. And he said, of this land, right? They had boxes that had the land, and they had boxes that had the names of the Shvatim. And even though there, right, just so this like further impresses this point, there in the Nevuos of Moshe Rabbeinu, he hinted to all the places that each Sheva was going to get in Eretz Israel. Nonetheless, Hashem did it this way to almost have this stamp of approval from God to what happens. And there it was done in a tremendously miraculous fashion where the boxes themselves spoke, Chazal say, and said the name of like what came out of the box. You know, if for those that are familiar with Harry Potter, that's the way the sorting hat worked. It said the name of the person, what house they're going to go into. It's been a while. And they got this idea from, this is what the lottery did as well. So Binyamin first. Mazel tov Binyamin. So you can imagine, were they cheering? Were they, you know, oh, wow, it's amazing. Vayakrev eshiftei Binyamin. So now, Sheva Binyamin moves closer. So now it's going to be one family from Binyamin is going to go next. This is very dramatic. Vatzilached mishpachat hamatri. The Sheva that was chosen, or the family, was the family, the Matri family. Vilached Shaul ben Kish. And then from there, Shaul, the son of Kish, was chosen. Whoa, we have a king. Vayivakshuhu velo nimsa. Couldn't find him. They couldn't find him. Oh my gosh. Right? He knew. Nobody else knew what was going on except for him and Shmuel. This is all he, and they couldn't find him. Why couldn't they find him? So very simply, they couldn't find him because he wasn't enough. He was humble. Or maybe he wasn't ready to become king. And he was nervous about those responsibilities. And he sort of had to acclimate to this new role. The Medrash gives a different reason. The Medrash says that Shaul wanted a recount. He wasn't familiar with the 2020 election, apparently, but he knew. He wanted a recount. He felt that he wanted the Urim and Tumim to be asked again to make sure that he was really going to become king. Vayakrev Esheva Binyamin L'mishachto. I'm sorry. Vayishalu Od Hashem Hava Od Halom Ish. So now they asked Hashem, where can we find Shaul? We don't know where he is. Vayomer Hashem, and Hashem said, Hinehu nechba el ha-kelim. He's hiding by the kelim. The Sfaria translates it here as baggage. The Medrash Tanchuma says he's hiding by the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash. He wanted them to do a recount. Ask Urim Tumim, Are you sure? You promised. You swear that Shaul, me, am going to become king. Right? He was hiding amongst the kingdom. The truth is that we see from here something else too. When in modern Hebrew, if somebody is like very sheepish and doesn't like the limelight and likes like stand away, not because like they purposely don't, but they have like this personality that's very, very quiet and reserved. A term that's used for them is Nechba El HaKelim. He's Nechba El HaKelim. She's Nechba El HaKelim. They like to blend in with the walls. Don't call on them in class. You know, like don't ask for them to, don't even ask them. It's like going to be too hard for them to get up there. Nechba El HaKelim. But the Gemara in Eirvin learns out from here that Kola Boreach Min HaKavod, HaKavod Boreach Acharim. That Shaul was somebody that stood back and ran away from honor. He wasn't interested in any accolades, any positions. He wanted to do his own thing, and that was it. And we're going to see a lot of these approaches to Shaul's personality play itself out, whether he wasn't ready, he ran away from the limelight, which is a good thing. You want your leader to be humble, and also this second guessing of himself and of his position all play themselves out in Shaul's malchus.
Rabbi.
Yeah.
Do we know how old he is now?
Unclear. I don't know.
Any guess? Like, was he still in his teens? Was he in his 20s, older? We have no idea.
I don't know.
How old was he when he died? Do we know that?
I could find out. I don't know.
No, because it would also explain his character also. If he was very young, you know, sometimes
he was anointed already. So it was a done deal.
Wasn't this a done deal? Wasn't he anointed already by Shmuel before this whole thing anyway?
Yes, correct.
That was Honey's point. That's not me. Honey
so
said
it
that.
It was a done deal. In other words, this was all a for show. This was like a parade.
Well, this is for the whole nation.
But it was done already. No matter what would have happened, it was a done deal because he anointed him.
Are you asking why is Shaul hiding?
No, I'm asking why go through the whole facade? It was a done deal.
It was for the people.
So that's what we meant. That's what we discussed. Why would you do this?
Yeah.
So, that we had different approaches that we mentioned.
So it's very nice that he's an Anav, and he was. I'm not saying no. But everybody in the show, you know, they knew that it was it. That was the outcome.
We knew this already, right? So okay, yeah. Great, good. So we'll see this play out really. Vayarutzu vayikachu misham, vayitzaziv b'socha am, vayigba mikol ha'am mishich v'ramal. So they ran over, they got him from where he was hiding, and they brought him in front of the entire nation. Vayigba mikol am. He was taller than anybody else in the nation. He was an impressive fellow. Not just his stature, personality. He stuck out. You know, the Avos de Rabbi Nassan says something very powerful here. One second. Oh, I didn't write who was this the name of. Okay. No. Hu haya omer. Kol mi sheyomar li kodem sheakanes legdula zu hachnes rotze ani she'ered imo. So I did not write who this is the name of. One of the Tanayim said, who was a leader of a yeshiva, he was leader of the Jewish people. He said, if anyone had said to me before I entered the position, take this position, I would have murdered him. If somebody asked me to take this position, I would have killed him. I didn't want this position. But now that I have entered and I have this power, if someone says, step down, you know what I would tell him? I would pour boiling hot water over his head.
Hey.
For greatness is difficult to attain. Gedola kasha hi lalosa. Ukshem shekasha hi lalosa kakasha larida. It's hard to accept it, but what's harder than accepting it Once you have it, stepping down. Stepping down, that is even harder. And what's his proof for this? Shekei matzino b'shalom. Sholom Alech. Shasha amar lo amod b'malchus. The second they said, rise up. Honey, you said it yourself. He already became king. Shemin HaMishcha. He couldn't do it. But we're going to see that he rose up as king. But once they wanted to take it away from him, he wouldn't give it up for a second. He let it go on way too long. Way too long. Right? David, your son-in-law is going to take over? He was refusing. Refusing. Is godless in people that know like when that or accept that for whatever level. Very, very hard. It's very, very hard. Okay. So they bring him up. Vayomer Shmuel El Kol Ha'am, Ha'ra'isa Masher Bechar Bo Hashem. Look at him. He's your new king. Ki Ein Kamohu Bechol Ha'am. There's nobody, this is a powerful. There's nobody like him in the entire nation. Mendy, you said he must be a special person. He must be. Because Shmuel is testifying right now. There is no one like him in the entire nation. Vayira'u kol ha'am vayomru yichi ha-melech. He proclaimed and shouted out loud, yichi ha-melech. People all together accepted Shaul as their king. The Radak writes here, the Radak writes, Ki ein kamohu, ki adam ba'al koma v'tzura na'a. He was very tall and very handsome. Ya'us l'mucha yir'u ha'am oso yosef. And they were, Shmuel was preying on their superficiality. Right? Ever since the Kennedy debates many years ago, people could almost predict who's going to become the next king, the next president. Sorry. Why? Looks have become a major factor in determining who becomes your politicians. In fact, they've proven this by just asking random people who versus who. And it could only be, could almost be predicted, I think, with like a 90% rate, just based on looks. We are a superficial people by nature. And the Radak says that he was praying on this by saying, look at him. Isn't he? Yeah, internal. But Shmuel knew how to address the people in the way that they would appreciate the king they had. Shmuel reminds him of the rules of the king. Shmuel sent everyone back home. He went home. And now he has another rash. He has people that are going to be with him and follow him around. And we're going to see how he starts his kingdom next week. And there's always, right? The Rebbe's not going to hide it from us. There's always going to be people that are going to be detractors, the haters. And they said, what's this guy going to do for us? My Yoshenu is that. Right, they scorned him. They didn't try to help him. They didn't support him as king. Meaning they didn't bring him a gift. What do they mean? They didn't support him. But he came acharish. He pretended not to mind. Right? He pretended not to mind. Shaul pretended that that was easy for him not to get support from other people. In reality, it's not easy when a leader is not supported. He pretended like he didn't hear them, right? Well, we all know that within itself is not simple. The very last pasuk in the Megillah reflects the same point. Mordechai Rabbi Yudin says this all the time, Mordechai literally saved the Jewish people, him and Esther. And what does the Navi say about Mordechai? Who loved him? Rov Echav. Most of his friends, most of the Jewish people. He still himself, the Gemara says this explicitly, had people that attacked him, that berated him. He still had haters. And he saved, literally saved, entire Klal Yisrael. This is the first episode now of Shaul being introduced to the Jewish people. Be'ezrat Hashem, next time we learn, we will begin discussing Shaul's reign as king and what his first order of business is going to be. I wish everybody a wonderful day. Awesome.